Buddy, here we go. It is hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we are now one day from the Major League Baseball trade deadline as we get set to chat with Jared Sandler. Rangers looking to salvage one in Anaheim tonight. Pregame coming up at 8:30, first pitch at 9 o'clock. Jared Sandler brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing, and a good evening, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up, guys? How's it going? Exciting countdown for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, isn't there? Let's just start with an open question to you on what's the latest buzz and what you think is going to happen.
Well, I think the latest buzz is that the Rangers, like a lot of teams, are, you know, they're on the horn. And I don't know, you know, I think Zach asked about Pete Fairbanks the other day. They're obviously, you know, he's been tied to the Rangers. Ryan Helsley's been tied. Joan Duran. I mean, here's the deal. If there is a reliever on a team that is looking to sell, then chances are the Rangers have investigated or made a call about that individual, right? The relief market is a lot tougher to forecast compared to, hey, if you need a catcher, you kind of know that, you know, these guys might be the ones available. Or if you need a right-handed hitting first baseman, well, hey, these two guys are the ones that make the most sense. So, when you're looking at role players to fill out a bench, you're looking at relievers. I don't want to say the options are endless because there's obviously only a finite amount of players, but it really could come from one of a number of teams and one of several players on the bench or in the bullpen or, you know, who fits into a platoon. I don't know that I'm hearing a lot of names, but I'll be honest, we hear a lot of names every year, and I don't know how much credence to put in any one individual name, but what I can tell you that I do feel good about saying is that the Rangers are actively looking for a right-handed bat, and they're looking for a reliever or two, and they would love for one of those relievers to be someone they can stick into a high-leverage opportunity in the playoffs, right? We always talk about acquiring a starting pitcher. Is he a guy who will start a playoff game for you or not? I think there's a similar line with a reliever where it's like, do you trust this guy protecting a lead in one of the final three innings or not? And you can be a contributing reliever to a postseason team if the answer is no, but I think you're willing to pay a little bit of a higher price to someone for whom the answer to that question would be yes.
What do you think of the Suarez idea that Evan Grant wrote about? The most intriguing bat on the market is Suarez. Is that something Rangers fans can think about or dream about? And where would you see him slotting in?
Well, the Rangers, you know, haven't gotten production from the DH spot. So that is absolutely, a possibility. You know, if you feel like he's better off there and Josh Young continues to hit, then maybe that's the answer. The thing with Suarez, I don't know. Do the Rangers want to give up what it will take to give up for a rental? And a rental, by the way, who's, you know, he's not super expensive this year by any means, but you're going to probably have to clear money to get him. The one thing that, you know, I did see Evan Wright, which I think it makes total sense. If the Rangers do, in fact, decide, you know what, screw it, we're going to go over the luxury tax, then you may as well just go ape crap, right? I mean, there's no reason why, you know, you only need to go over by a few million dollars. But if you're going to get Eugenio Suarez, based on what we believe to be the Rangers' financial situation, then, they'd probably have to make a counter move to make money available. I do think that move would make sense. He's a right-handed hitter. He hits a lot of home runs. He's not a guy who you'd have to play against only lefties, excuse me. He's a guy who'd be in there, righties and lefties. And the one thing that, you know, you get with Eugenio Suarez, he's going to strike out a lot. He's not going to walk a lot. So that is one thing you got to kind of balance here. Do you feel like you can, have a competitive lineup? If you add Eugenio Suarez, it's not like he's the problem. But I'd say this, guys, if you add Eugenio Suarez, I wonder if that maybe means that the Rangers decide to change, you know, their outlook on Adolis Garcia, because, you know, at some point we've talked about roster and lineup balance. And, again, it's not like there's not a room or not a place for Eugenio Suarez, but, you know, maybe do you have to now add some patience and some plate discipline in another spot for one of the guys who maybe is currently in your lineup who doesn't necessarily bring that.
Jared, outside of Sebastian Walcott, do the Rangers have pretty desirable prospects that would be of interest to these teams?
More on the pitching side, I'd say. I don't know how teams view Malcolm Moore, who is probably the Rangers' second best position player prospect, depending on how you want to slot in Gavin Fien, their first-round pick, who won't get moved. You know, my guess is Malcolm Moore is not a guy, is a guy that could add value, but not a guy that a team would necessarily center a deal around for a player like Eugenio Suarez. On the pitching side, you do have some desirable pieces, right? Alejandro Rosario and Winston Santos and Cole Drake. You've got Jose Corniel, who's back. You know, even though Emiliano Teodo has not had the type of year the Rangers would have liked, because I think the expectation was by this point he'd maybe be helping out the big league bullpen. You know, I don't think that there's a team that would look at him and say, yeah, I'm not interested in him right now. Again, he probably isn't going to be the headliner for a deal, but he's a guy who, you know, could certainly be of appeal. So I think more so on the position or on the pitching side than the position player side. But, you know, if the Rangers were going to move Sebastian Walcott, it would obviously be for a guy who's going to give them multiple years of control and be kind of that all-star type caliber player. As great as Eugenio Suarez has been this year, because he's a free agent to be, it probably wouldn't make sense that Sebastian Walcott's the guy that, you know, you use as the headliner in that deal.
So I haven't seen a lineup yet for today, so it's possible that Jock Peterson's back in it going up against a righty pitcher. But he did get the pinch hit at bat last night. But what's the thinking about Jock? They don't really have a lot of time and patience, I think, to allow him to get going. And if he's not hitting, what's the move moving forward for him?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Zach. They owe it to themselves. The best version of this team right now, right, separate of trades, is one in which Jock Peterson's hitting. But it's obviously not a guarantee, right? He's got to start hitting. But I think they owe it. They owe it to their intuition this offseason to sign him, to give it more than just a few days post IL to see if they can get him going. But the tricky part is that tomorrow is the last day you can really add a meaningful external player or a player externally. And so they've got to ask, you know, do we need to add someone as protection? Like someone who, let's say Jock doesn't get it going, like that can fill that role. I think in a perfect world, Jock would have come back 2 weeks earlier. And this is not on Jock at all, right? It's just the timing of this. Not to say Jock should have been back 2 weeks earlier, but maybe you would have had 2 weeks more data to make that determination. All right, yes, he is showing signs. Or, man, we're not seeing it. We need to make a move. Because you're right. I think that Jock Peterson is someone they still believe can contribute. But, yeah, he's got to. He's got to start doing it. You know, I think, now what, a two-thirds of the way through the season, right? My personal statistician Matt Hicks is next to me. He gives me the thumbs up there. So yeah, they don't have a full runway, you know, the way that they maybe felt like they did earlier in the season. So it's a great question. I don't know how they're going to handle that, because, you know, because of Jock's contract, they're not. I don't think they're going to DFA him. I don't think they're going to pay him nearly $20 million next year and whatever the prorated amount is this year to go play elsewhere. But they do need to figure out what to do with that spot, because they need production desperately from their DH role. And unfortunately, you know, Jock wasn't just supposed to give them production as a DH. He was supposed to give them like middle of the order type production, regardless of position. And they really do need that.
Hey, Jared, I asked my buddy in the league this question, and I'll ask you. And I asked him, I said, what positions are most teams looking for in return for these relievers? And, you know, I was asking about the pitchers, position players, bats. And my guy said, depending on the team, but upside pitching is usually preferred. Is that something, are you getting a feeling, talking with the Rangers maybe, that they're giving you some ideas of, hey, if we're going to go do this, that maybe are they're not maybe in a mode of giving up pitching? It's got to be either the bats or the positional players, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess, Brian, it depends. I don't see the Rangers giving up Winston Santos for a really good reliever who will only be with them for the next 2 months. Okay. Now, if you told me that, like in a world in which Emmanuel Clase was not under investigation for gambling, that would be the type of deal, because he's got a pretty favorable team option for the next two seasons or next three seasons. Or sorry, he's under contract through next year, and then I think he's got two team options. So you could have him for 3.5 seasons. I don't know that Winston Santos would be in play for Emmanuel Clase. I don't know how
how the Rangers value him, but that's the type of return in which a guy like that could be available. Now, let's say the Rangers do what the Angels just did and what the Rangers did last year, and that's go and acquire Andrew Chafin. Andrew Chafin last year, the Rangers hoped was going to be a big part of their bullpen and providing an option from the left side. He didn't pitch well for the Rangers, but they got him for not a whole lot, and he was a guy who conceivably, had he pitched better, could have really, really helped out the bullpen, filling a need that they had with their construction. So you can get the interesting thing with relievers is you can get impact relievers without giving up a lot. You know, I'll go back to a decade ago when the Rangers got Jake Diekman and Sam Dyson. Now, Jake Diekman was a part of the Cole Hamels deal, and maybe Jake Diekman's presence in that deal impacted the Rangers give to the Phillies a little bit, but not a lot. You know, Jake Diekman, he wasn't a throw-in. That would be unfair to say, but the deal was really about Cole Hamels, and the Rangers felt like they, you know, they saw something in Jake Diekman where they could turn around what, you know, had been a shaky time with the Phillies coming up as a prospect. The Rangers got Sam Dyson, who would go on to be their closer the next year, but a huge part of their bullpen that year for basically nothing. Tomas Tatis was what they gave the Marlins, if I recall, and he was like the third catcher on the team. You know, he was like a 4A catcher for that ball club. So I guess it just depends. And sometimes teams see a reliever, they see maybe what that guy does, and feel like, hey, we can make this tweak, and this guy could become a stud for us in ways he wasn't for whatever team he, you know, is currently on. So if you're looking for an Emmanuel Clase type who's obviously not available anymore, but a Joan Duran or a Ryan Helsley, then yeah, maybe you're going to have to give up a desirable pitching prospect. But if you're looking for, you know, a guy who's just a really good seventh inning guy, and those guys are important, I don't think you need to dig into your top 10 pitching prospects in order to get that guy. But, you know, the one thing I'll say, Brian, is every year the market tells a totally different story. And so the minute you think you got it figured out, you don't. And so I say that the Rangers might be on the phone right now picking up a deal for a guy that can pitch the seventh inning for them, and they're going to give up a top 10 pitching prospect. But I just typically that's not what you would see.
How do you think CY handles this dynamic that some of the insiders are reporting that there's more teams wanting high-quality relievers than there are available? I think it's 6-5 by Buster Olney's count. Does he say, well, this is a great opportunity to get to the front if we're willing to give what other teams aren't, or do you think he lets that market come to him?
Well, yeah, that's he's been aggressive, right? So we've had 2 years of Chris Young you know, being the guy to call the shots. And remember in 2023, he was really aggressive in going and getting Aroldis Chapman. Was it on July 1st or June 30th, whatever? You know, he didn't want to wait for the market. And the Rangers were in a period in that season where they really just needed some bullpen help. They were leaking. And some years, you roll the dice that way and it works out. Other years, not so much. You know, this would have been a year maybe, and it's you know, for any of the teams looking for relief help, maybe it would have been better for them to make a move a month ago with Felix Bautista going on the IL and with the Emmanuel Clase stuff. All of a sudden, there becomes a little higher price tag because the supply and demand has totally shifted in the last week. With those two big arms who a lot of people thought were going to be traded, now off the market. So, I think that, given the nature of, you know, where we're at with the supply and demand, I guess you run the risk if you wait of another team screwing it up, because if you're looking for a reliever and you're waiting and the Angels or I just pick a team and they go and get a guy and they set the market at a level higher than what you'd like and maybe a level higher than what you want to play with. Now you might be going to that next tier, but you know, sometimes being the first one to make that move for an upper level reliever, it's someone who's maybe a tick higher in regard than Sir Anthony Dominguez, who was traded yesterday. Maybe that would be advantageous. So Chris Young's always been aggressive. I'll say this, Gavin. I don't think he's afraid to be the first one in the pool, right? He wasn't 2 years ago, and I don't think he would be this year.
If you get swept, do you think that has any impact on their decision-making right now?
I don't think it has an impact on Chris Young's decision-making. I'd say this. From a financial standpoint, if I were to guess, if I'm an ownership group and I have certain feelings about, that side of things, they're human beings and they ride the emotional roller coaster too. Maybe that impacts, you know, whether or not, you know, they'd be willing to spend more or not spend more. I would say that, you know, it shouldn't, right? You know, three games out of 162 shouldn't impact your feeling that drastically, but I mean, we've seen it before. And the other thing we see too, Gavin, what if the Astros go and make a big trade in the next 5 minutes? You know, that absolutely, what if the Mariners go and make another move? You know, they already acquired Josh Naylor. That absolutely impacts teams. You know, they can say it doesn't, but it absolutely does. And so I think there are a few factors that come into play, but I would say having a clean, nice win tonight certainly would only help matters if Chris Young and his team are trying to, you know, convince themselves or convince ownership, hey, let's invest in this way or that way. Certainly it doesn't hurt to win, but I don't know how much it moves the needle.
Everything all right with everybody? Like the pitching performances the last couple of nights? We spent so much time looking at the trade. We're here in California. Anything else on the top of your mind we need to know before we let you go?
Well, it was a sloppy game last night, and uncharacteristic of the Rangers because they've been so good defensively and they weren't. And I think last night was weird. It was the third time in franchise history the Rangers have outhit a team by that much and lost, and it was the biggest margin of defeat in those games. So it was just kind of a wonky game. But Nathan Eovaldi this year is 6-2 the team is 6-2 when Evo starts. After a team loss, in the two games they lost, the Rangers scored a combined one run. So it really wasn't on him. So if you want a guy to take the mound to try and prevent a sweep, I feel like Nathan Eovaldi is probably your best bet.
Great stuff, Sands. Have a great night, and we'll catch up with you on Friday.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
He's at Jared Sandler, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Thank you, sir. Brian Broaddus, a practice recap brought to you by Treeline by Hillwood coming up next. Brother, what's in store?
Yeah, let's kind of get into some more of these players. I'm not going to talk about the stars. I'm going to talk about down-the-line guys. We'll do that next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time to hit the expressway. Let's go commercial-free to the top. G-Bag Today is coming up in about 5 minutes. LA Live, Lucius Alexander is coming up at 5:40 here on your home of the Cowboys. Our training camp coverage continues. And Brian Broaddus has a camp report here for you in just a second. The Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. And Broaddus' camp update brought to you by Treeline by Hillwood, a stunning new master plan community in Justin, Texas. Here's Brian.
Hey, thank you very much. We had a couple of injuries that we needed to know about, right? Dawson, we got a sponsor for an injury report, right?
We sure do. The injury report's brought to you by Greystone Roofing. They've got you covered when the hits keep coming.
Okay. Andrew Booth, not practicing. We were asking about that one. That's a hamstring injury right there with Andrew Booth. Okay. And then also, though, our tackle, Akeem Adeniji. Adeniji, do I say it right? In Adeniji?
I've heard both.
I've been saying Adeniji.
Let's go with Adeniji.
You want to go with that one?
Sure.
Dealing with the C word. The C word.
Head See you next Tuesday? Oh, head concussion.
Injury. Oh. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was cramps, but it's brain cramp.
The one you never want to talk about is the concussion. You don't want to talk about that one very much.
Yeah.
That's not, but that's what we're dealing with right now. So who knows? We'll be protocoling it, things like that. You know, here's a
guy. Get him in a guardian cap.
Here's a guy.
Hopefully it's all good, broski.
You know, here's a guy that's kind of been pretty good, you know, and it's a shame. It's just a shame. I'm sure that we'll sit in these meetings with Jerry and Steven and Shoddy and, you know, some of these guys that they brought in have done a solid job of practicing. Then all of a sudden, you know, no telling when you're going to get this guy back. You know, the symptoms, they go away, they put you in protocol. I mean, remember that whole deal? I mean, they're not going to put you on the field. This is a guy that he's a veteran guy, but I wanted to see him continue to play, you know, get opportunities to tackle, you know, see if he was going to be able to, is this a guy that's going to come in? I mean, the early indications with him are that he looked very serviceable playing the position with Steele. You know, I was expecting, oh, there's probably going to be a drop-off. Here's a guy. They're going to run by him. It's not going to get good. All of a sudden, the offense is going to bog down because they don't have any blocking. It's a breakdown. But I'll tell you what, man, that guy did a great job.
Good quality depth on this line. He's part of it.
Quality depth on this line.
It's crazy. All their quality depth additions, you're right. And the concussion, you know, usually it's a week or a week and a half before you can clear protocol, but some are tricky, you know. So hopefully he's got a quick bounce back.
Hey, Wilczek, how much did you know about Zion Childers before you got here?
Not much.
You know, and I'll tell you what, Zion Childers, the cornerback, has shown up a little bit.
Deron mentioned with him this earlier.
I've been really surprised. It's funny because he wears a really odd number for a cornerback. Yeah, he's number 48.
Yeah, dude.
And so it's kind of one of those things, but he's a rookie out of Kentucky that's 5'11", 203 pounds. 23 years old, but he's shown up in some of these. He had an interception the other day, and then today he also had a pass where he got knocked it down. You know, with the way that the cornerback situation is with the Cowboys, I would say, hey, listen, this guy is at least making an effort to try and put himself in the mix. We'll see what happens when we get to, you know, when we get to these preseason games. And is he making plays out here? But he's been put in some situations where he's had to play some coverage, and he's done a pretty nice job. He's come away with the ball a couple of different times. Well, at least one time had the interception, but
that was the one-hander, right? The one-hander interception.
Yeah, he's had
last week.
And he's had some really nice plays.
The closing speed. I mean, to get those like boots and waggles going, and then he's chasing down in the flat. Seems like he gets physical as well.
Yeah, he at 203 pounds though. He's a pretty thick looking guy.
He's like shorter, stockier kind of.
I kind of felt like that he was one of those guys that was like, wait, it's number 40. Is this a linebacker? And then I'm like, no, it's like he's a cornerback. So just a couple of things. The injuries, and then also I wanted to point out this Zion Childress, the cornerback, rookie from Kentucky, kind of making some plays in a group that, you know, when guys like Booth and others, Booth has been making some plays, but now guys are starting to miss practice time. Does Zion Childress take advantage of
that?
He'll
be a prime candidate to get a much more aesthetically pleasing jersey number.
I would hope.
If he makes the team.
I think him and Ezeraku both would.
Yeah, I need Ezeraku to get out of that 41.
It's crazy, man. I think I'm the outlier on that. I think the 41 is kind of sharp on him.
Yeah.
But Childress was number 11 at Kentucky.
Yeah.
So obviously that's not going to be in play for him.
No.
But maybe
48's a terrible number for a cornerback.
48 could be the worst screams practice squad.
Yeah, that's a corner number.
Yeah,
maybe
true.
That's just Terrence Newman.
All righty, thank you. We'll have more Cowboys coming up here shortly. It's time to go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah. Here it is, 5:30. We do G-Bag of the Day at this time. If you need to see me floating out there, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. LUCIOUS. Follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. The handles are in the bio right there. All right, this is day two for this champion audio. The great Charles Haley, great football player. He was singing happy birthday to Charlotte Jones.
It's Charlotte Jones' birthday, so we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Charlotte. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Hey, she's fine too, y'all. Let me tell you that.
She fine too, dog. Let me tell you that.
She looks like Jerry. She really does.
She's got the Jerry eyes.
She looks just like Jerry in the face. So if you're thinking about that, Charles, go for it.
Is that account looking like Jerry, though?
No. I'm just saying, you know, she looks like her dad.
I think that's fair, that if a gal looks too much like dad and you know dad, I don't know if you could look lovingly across, you know, a dining room table or, you know, in any of those romantic
super
situations.
Super nice lady and super smart. Gosh, she's smart.
I mean,
she was running this team. It might be. Might be have one of some.
I think she's got. I think she's got it going on, and I feel like I might have offended the Jones family enough for a 48-hour period. So I'm just gonna, you know, back slowly away from this. But I think Charles is spitting facts.
As long as that account is looking like daddy's.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Bamba dee ba dumba. KMC mess. I'll go to this one. It's causing a lot of controversy here on the fan. Mac Hicks and Jared Sandler.
Okay.
They got into a dance, caught that conversation during a little whack he played during the Rangers game and versus the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world just happened to Gustavo Campero? He had that ball, tripped and fell and dropped it, and first base umpire Marvin Hudson said no catch. It's a tie ball game.
Holy smokes.
Holy smokes.
Marvin Hudson saying this is going to be reviewed, but there's no way they can say that he had the ball because as soon as it hit him the heel of his glove, he didn't even take a step. The ball came out, hit him in the chest, and he fell forward because the ball fell out.
If Dez didn't catch it, then nope. Gustavo Campero didn't catch it.
Well, first of all, Dez definitely caught it. Campero did not catch it.
Thank you,
Hicksy. Way to go, Hicksy.
No, Dez did catch it.
No, he didn't.
No, he did. Jared.
No, I watched that game. They said he didn't catch it.
I watched it, too. I think this is
the rule might suck, but Dez did not catch it.
Whatever. This game is tied.
There you go.
They reversed this in New York. There are a variety of objects on our table that are going to get thrown.
By you?
By me.
Man. By the way, that's a Packer fan there getting after it.
Letting his yellow and gold show a little bit too much. I don't know how anybody grows up in the great state of Texas, ends up as a Packers fan, but he managed to pull it off. Doesn't surprise me. But I do think that was the best whatever in Rangers history.
Yeah. That was great, man.
I like Hicksy.
Me too.
I have a combo situation right here. Let's go to Gavin Dawson.
Uh-oh.
Pressing Stephen Jones. I like how Stephen Jones got out of this, though. I'm going to use this to how to end every argument from now on, bro. I mean,
right? And I'm like, well, why would they not just get this thing done if Micah really wants to be here? And I guess one is that he would have to take significantly less than market value for you guys to want to do that contract with him now. And the other would be, I mean, it is probably tens of millions of dollars in free brand awareness.
A lot of the things you just said are mostly inaccurate.
Okay. How so?
I'm not going to get into the details of a negotiation.
Yeah. That's a good strategy, Lucius. I got to remember that one, too.
I'm not going to get into the details.
I'm not going to get into it, but.
Right? And I'm like,
but
you're 90% wrong. Yeah.
Well,
a lot of the things you just said are mostly inaccurate.
That is crazy, bro.
What a drop.
That is crazy. Corey from the KNC Masterpiece was a fan of it, though. This is why this is a combo situation.
Here's my example of Steven. You know, where do you stop to get gas, Steven? And he's like, gasoline is all over the country, and you never know exactly when you're going to need to stop because what is stopping? And who knows how many different places you can pass before you actually – a lot of people out there need gas. And so do I want gas when they're getting gas, or do I want gas – whenever they're not? And so you have to ask yourself that question, and you got to be prepared 24 hours, 365.
No, but I asked you the question, where did you get the gas?
To get gasoline. Well, I'm not going to talk about that right now. That's not fair to the gasoline industry.
Wow.
That's got some elements to it there.
Look at Corey Majors. What a beast. He's been in his bag all week long.
Going to get Cowboys, man. That's awesome.
What kind of bag is that?
G-bag, maybe?
The grits bag.
Grits bag.
Grits? Are you embarrassed by it?
Hagee's this satchel briefcase bag guy, right? I don't know exactly what type of bag Corey's hauling around every day.
The hobo bag. The
goodie bag.
The hobo.
Bag of tricks?
Yeah.
What's the answer here, Lucius? I feel like we're all in jeopardy.
We just
lost a grand.
I was asking. Hey, you were telling us. I was just trying to get some clarification. You're telling
us.
I'll
have to hit ChatGPT. See if I can figure this out.
All right, last one, too, here. Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer. He sure does like to cuss a lot, man.
He does a lot.
Does he not know where these microphones are going?
He does.
No.
Go ahead.
He sat down with us last year and was cussing into the mic here.
I just don't get it. Coach, what's going on, bro? Where do you think these mics are going, coach?
Double inside to get to an inside piece, and I mean Kropp went flying in there and just struck the guy and did an unbelievable job. Like, to be a great football team, it's got to be selfless, and receivers have to block, and that jumped out at me yesterday. But you don't get that, to your point, you don't get that 907. They're over there running their routes and putting their wristbands on and fixing their gloves, checking their headbands and all that shit. It's like, hey, let's go get some dirty work done.
Let it fly.
One press conference a day. He will drop an S on you, I think.
Yeah.
It's every time.
Today he said you got to be able to run it up their ass.
I think it
Which
was
kind of vulgar.
It.
Shove it up
yeah,
their
it
ass.
Was
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we should say that.
Well.
We did.
Well, he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Yeah,
I don't think
him.
It's an FCC violation. It's just like, is it in poor taste?
Yeah.
Hold on, one more.
Game changer, man. Game changer. And I know one thing. When the defensive coordinators see him standing over there by me, they're like, okay. Let's take a deep breath, Roke. Oh, here he comes.
Talk about Turpin.
No, Turpin.
Man, everybody's cussing. It's definitely the McAfee effect across sports. It's probably a little bit more entertaining. I just wish we could get the green light. Like, when are we going to be able to start saying S? You know? Anytime soon?
Change the shoot, yeah, boy.
Yeah, I mean that would definitely be a game changer. Is it Charles Haley, our one-time G-Bag of the Day champion? Is it Matt Hicks giving a legendary whatever to Jared Sandler? Noted Packers fan, by the way. You might find that disappointing. I know I did, but a big fan of the guy. Stephen Jones on G-Bag with the Corey Majors reaction to it, or Shoddy cussing on the microphone. I don't know, guys. I don't know who to vote
really
for
good.
Here. But let me go with my guy, Matt Hicks. Chief, how about you?
I'm going to go with my guy, Corey Majors.
Oh, that was classic. Lucius?
Hicks!
2-1, Wolchuk.
You with Charles.
2-1-1, Brian.
Majors.
Majors by a score of 2-2. We have a tie. Jump over to @GBagNation's Twitter account right now. We're going to create an Insta poll. And while you listen to LA Live, you're invited to jump in there and vote. I would also encourage you to look for the bio at @GBagNation. You can find all of our handles and follow all of us. And maybe we'll follow you right back. So Insta poll coming up at @GBagNation. Vote it up. Determine the champ. In the meantime, here's Lucius with LA Live.
It's a butt naked Wednesday. Let's get into it right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
Eddie Sefko, Dallas News. Avery, what was your impression of that Wade's drive to the basket there on the guy and got the free throws?
You tell me. What was your impression?
Unfortunately, no, nobody cares about my impression.
No, but you tell everybody here. You tell us. What was your impression?
My impression was he got 2 free throws out of it.
No, that's all right. That's a political answer. So, let me ask you the question again. What was your impression on that play? We're waiting.
Oh, did he get fouled?
Come on, bro.
I'm asking you the question. What was your impression?
I'm done. I don't know what to say. What do you want me to say?
No, I want you to give everybody an honest answer. We got people from Israel and and Minnesota, Chicago, all over Dallas.
Minnesota. You know,
Germany.
I'll follow up with another question if that's all right.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
All right.
He just wanted Eddie to...
Hey, it's LA Live for Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. It is a butt-naked Wednesday here in LA Live. That was Coach Avery right there getting it shaky with my man Eddie Sefko.
His wife can eat some crawfish now. Good lady.
Can she?
Yeah, I cooked some crawfish for both of them. They loved some crawfish, man. She had on about a $15,000 outfit.
As she should.
Rolled up her sleeves and got right in the middle of all them crawfish.
As she should.
I was proud of her.
It's a Butt Naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Welcome in, Tolos. Welcome in, first time, last time, and long time listeners of the station. Peace to the gods. Peace to Miss Erica Badu. Hold on, Miss Badu. Where you at, real quick?
It's Butt Naked Wednesdays.
Yeah, you tell them.
Wednesdays.
LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. I had a little quick setup for you guys here, but I'm not going to get into it because it hasn't been exposed on the show yet. But when it does, I have a question here, all right?
All right.
I hate to tease you like that.
Mystery tease. Yeah.
It's mystery tease.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, fam. Hold on.
Got to stay tuned all 5 hours.
Get the vibe right real quick, bro. Wow. Hey.
and just a gigolo. And everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling its romance. Oh, the scene. There will come a day.
Now I'm going to do it anyway.
Yes.
I'm going to do it anyway. You see your man, Travis Hunter, gave himself a nickname?
Unicorn. I saw that.
The unicorn, bro.
Mm.
Now, shout out to all the unicorns out there. Me and my old lady used to chase those unicorns up and down these Dallas-Fort Worth streets in our late 20s and 30s. Not so much in the 40s. Not so much. We done calm that down. But boy, we used to try to chase you unicorns around. Yeah, Travis Hunter calls himself the unicorn. That's kind of crazy. We're going to play a quick game here, folks. Who is your daddy and what does he do? No, I'm just joking. What is your nickname and where did you get it? What is your nickname right here in the G-Bag Nation and where did you get it? What's your nickname? Let's go, fellas.
Well, my original nickname was Boo, which was short for Gaboo, which was from my dad. But that one expired at about 16 years old. So I've been the general since like 2010, I think, when somebody suggested it on the fan text. Decided to run with it.
I like that. Yeah, I think for the most part growing up, it was just E. Graduated to E-Hammer when I was cracking skulls.
E-Hammer, who gave you that pause? Who gave you that name? You didn't give yourself that name, did you?
I did not. Okay. No, I did not.
It was the first girlfriend, actually.
No, it was. Unfortunately, it was an on-the-field E-Hammer situation in the Pee-Wee. You know, the Pee-Wee was really my prime.
tell me about it.
The E-Hammer stuff dissipated a little bit after fifth grade.
Okay.
Really hasn't come back, which is unfortunate.
You still look the part.
Yeah. Oh, well, I appreciate it. Yeah, that's just false advertising.
Yeah, I got retired from football. I think it was my senior year. I was doing really, really good, bro. And I had a realization. This kid named Aaron Tay, who had all these D1 offers, he gave me a hit.
Yeah.
And as I was looking up at the sky, I was laying on the ground on my back, looking up at the sky, and I was like, so the next level is just full of guys like this.
Yeah,
this is
not for me.
Yeah. I think we're done here.
I think we're done, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt in the wrestling, Matt, when Dallas Wittenborn picked me up, scoop slammed me pretty good. I was so done for that day. I never went back to practice.
Yeah, seventh grade Jackson Jeffcoat. I'm out.
Woo!
I'm good.
We got to get the game tape of that,
no,
man.
No, we don't. We do not need to bring that up. I guess Dawson dubbed me the Wooly Bully. I went on a rant, I think, when we were nosebleed seats, G-Bag of the Day style, against some Eagles haters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it stuck.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a nickname before that all through school or nothing? It was just...
I mean, just like Dumb A and Fat Leap. And,
okay.
You know, no, not really. Like Z-Dub. Maybe.
Z-Dub.
What was Z-Dub known for?
Z-Dub.
Got to go see Z-Dub.
Z-Dub, bro. Oh, you're going to see Z-Dub about that.
Z-Dub.
Z-Dub is hilarious. Broadus.
Yeah, I was known as BQ by all my friends still to this day, my friends I've had for over 40 years call me BQ. My father, my family owned a barbecue place.
So that was my nickname. Short for BBQ. Oh, okay.
BQ. And then I
thought it's what they liked about Texas there for a second.
But then my friends at LSU would come home visit, and my friends would call me BQ. And so they picked it up and took it to Louisiana. So I was known in two states as BQ.
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 Yep. And Krusty.
Krusty.
Krusty, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I embrace that one.
Good for you, bro. Yeah, Krusty's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. It unless you get away with a lot of things, too. You know, you can just go on these long questions, long rants, halfway pay attention through the show, be on the phone and whatnot, and be like, hey, Krusty! It makes up for it.
Yeah.
It's good. My name has been L.A. my whole life. It's just my initials, Lucius Alexander. But in high school, shoot, man, my friends call me Dirk Diggler.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. After the movie?
Look at you, Marky Mark, Boogie Night style.
That's good advertising.
I earned that one, too.
Nice.
The camcorders. Camcorders back then. They just really got popping where they were small enough where you could move them around, right?
Right.
And take them with you. Mm-hmm. Like now you have your phone. You can record anything. But then you had to have your camcorder and a small and whatnot, and everybody didn't have one. Mm-hmm. A little video of mine got out.
Uh-oh.
And it traveled through that school like hot fire.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a little activity on that joint.
Oopsie.
And I didn't get in trouble. I got more love, bro. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, right on.
Bro, that weekend came out. I had girls come to me at lunch and be like, hey, so y'all seen that tape? And wow. I destroyed like the original.
Oh, did you? I was going to say, you might be like a Kardashian, you know, like that tape that got out about her, right?
Yeah.
And she got to be more famous.
Yeah, let's get this to the Crosstown Rivals. Let's get this everywhere, man.
Yeah, it blew me up, bro. It blew me up. All right, I got a question for the Tolos right here, folks. I'm only asking this question because yesterday in the Pimp Cup after the show, all of the producers were in here. You know, the off-mic conversations are the funniest conversations in radio. We were all like talking to each other with sports quotes, like the rant quotes. You know what I'm saying? Let's see. The ceiling is the roof is what we were saying to each other, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're only coming back with just quotes. We weren't even really having full conversation. It was just quotes, trying to outquote each other from sports rants.
Ooh, a good old-fashioned quote off.
A quote off. Yeah. A quote off. So I just wanted to get some, what is your favorite sports rants? You catch yourself randomly quoting throughout the day. You guys got any sports rants on deck? It just comes up in your conversation sometimes. It's random.
I mean, I think we're talking about practice probably hits me twice a week.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm supposed to be franchise player, and we're sitting here. Not the game. Not the game that I go out there and die for. We're talking about practice, man. That one's big, and then Gundy, you know?
Yeah, Gundy for sure.
Oh, my God.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I think Gundy might be the biggest thing ever.
You're going after a kid because he's fat?
The editor who let it come out is garbage.
If you
want to
go after an athlete, athletes, you go after one that doesn't do the right things. Yeah. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper.
Because it's garbage.
Because it's garbage. Yeah. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding?
Where are we at in society today?
Huh?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that was so surprised. Yeah, crazy. You know, I would have never have guessed that he'd be still coaching 20 years later.
Still
yeah.
doing it, man.
Still doing
yeah.
it.
Crushing.
Lucius, still got the mullet, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Still got the mullet. Lucius, I always kind of subscribe to the one is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Who said that? The devil?
No, that was that one.
Lucifer himself. Yeah.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. It actually goes back to Richard Petty. The you know, the race car driver,
because
back in the day, that's all they ever did in races was cheat. But we kind of lived that one when we were in when recruiting. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I like that one. I like Denny Green. You want to crown them? Crown their ass.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Yeah,
that's so good. And we let them off the hook.
Yeah.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears shutting down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
He stumbled.
We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Yeah.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
So good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And then Jim Mora's playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Playoffs. Oh, I had this one sitting right here for that Mike, the Gundy joint. Justin Bieber, when he first came out, he was doing a little promo run. And his ringer on his phone was Mike Gundy ranting. And while he was doing an interview, it went off. So he had to explain it. Listen to this, bro.
It's like, I went bungee jumping. It was a lot of fun.
So. I'm a man. I'm 40.
That's my ringtone for everything.
Oh, it is?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. He said, don't come after after some kid who's been doing everything right?
All three of these guys.
Wow, dude.
You got it right.
I didn't know Bieber knew ball like that. That's awesome.
Bieber knows ball. Oh, this one right here might be your favorite here, Mr. Dawson.
Yeah.
Coastal Carolina head coach.
Oh, yeah. Got the other bands on.
Got the bands on, bro.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament for practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen.
Kitty.
So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat?
What you doing?
By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy.
All crazy.
And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog.
Yeah.
Like an old.
No kitty cat.
Is that Phil Bennett? Yeah. His name, Phil Bennett, Eastern Carolina, something like that.
Love this.
Yeah,
guy.
I think that was five. That was easy 5-time G-Bag of the Day champ.
100%.
Coasting through.
How about this guy? Oh, shoot. I don't remember this guy's name. Maybe you guys do. Hold on. It's a hockey dude.
Oh.
What was the exchange from the plane? Your exchange?
What's that?
Yeah.
Johnny McClain.
Torts.
You should
Tortorella.
Ask him.
Yeah.
Tortorella.
Tortorella.
John Tortorella.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy. You get that through your head?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And it's time to waste the time.
Oh, well, then get the fuck out of here then.
I am.
Okay, see ya.
Oh, you can't get it. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, Brooksy. That's like, that's so old school. Calling somebody like Brooksy.
Can't win with them. Can't play with them. Yeah. Can't do it.
Oh.
Singletary.
Shoot, man, there was one baseball manager that he has one of the greatest rants of all time. Like, the reporters were all in his office.
Yes. Like Tal McCray.
That's who that is? He started ripping the phone off the cords and whatnot. Yeah. And he even did like a Michael Jackson spin as he was trying to throw that thing.
Yeah, he did. Hal McCray, Kansas City Royals. Yeah. Look that one up. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to hear all that S.
I think that's right.
That's what he said.
I think I got that one right.
Man, I don't want to hear all that S. Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I'm going to get Mike Dicker. I like this guy.
What do you want to know? Come on. Or I'm going to go in now, so if you don't... Which one run. There'll be a quarterback that'll be named next week that'll be the starter. There's three quarterbacks on this football team. Whichever one starts. Whichever ones don't, we'll back him up. Cut and dry.
Facts.
It's nobody's concern but ours. Nobody's. Next.
Injuries from the game.
Talk to the trainer. Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care? Okay. If you were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood, too.
Yeah. Why are you such a bad mood?
Mike Dicker.
Yo, wait a minute.
Hello. Okay. I want to hear that one more time there.
Right, Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
Yeah.
What do you care?
Why are you such in bad mood, man?
Give me a cigar.
Well, I guess I'll leave with this joke and get on out of here. Jeremy Adler, if you guys have ever coached your kids in some type of league or whatnot, you might have had this experience. My father used to coach my basketball team. I think he did like 2 games. And there was one point I had to look at Dad and say, hey, Dad, you have to call a timeout right here. Stop the clock, Pops. You have to substitute. We need breaks.
The first time he ever played organized basketball, he was 7 or 8. And I had the distinct privilege and honor of being his coach because none of the other parents volunteered. And the day before our first practice, I got a message from the YMCA letting me know that they were going to be placing a little boy with special needs on my team. And I was like, wonderful. That's great. I can't wait to meet him.
Wonderful.
And then I spent the rest of the season trying to figure out which little boy it was. I don't know if you've ever seen 7 and 8-year-olds all playing basketball together for the first time.
Yeah.
I was like, it could be any of them. And now I know it was actually my kid the whole time. YMCA.
Yeah. All right. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That's my time. I'm out of here. Peace.
Salute. There he goes. It's the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Training Camp 2025 here in Oxnard. Coverage brought to you by the on-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird, Southern Table and Bar. There's been a big trade in the American League. Wolchuk, proper round tripper coming up.
Let's do it. All the updates on what's going on at the deadline and who people could be targeting from the Rangers. That's next.